listening to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium.
Satchitananda Parabrahma Purushottama Paramatma Sri Bhagavati Samhita Sri Bhagavate Namah Sri Bhagavati Samhita Sri Bhagavate Namah Sri Bhagavate Namah Sri Bhagavate Satchitananda Parabrahma Purushottama Paramatma Sri Bhagavati Samhita Sri Bhagavate Namah Sri Bhagavati Samhita Sri Bhagavate Namah Sri Bhagavate Namah Sri Bhagavate
imprinted in the code of the cosmos, falling in the abode of the infinite, emerging candlelit doves, walking the earth and sky, as Amrit pours from the golden stream, eternal, 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 eternal.
Satchitananda Parabrahma Sri Bhagavate Namah Sri Bhagavate Samhita Sri Bhagavate
Sarte Moshe. have to live in fear of the unknown.
I've been waiting a long time for someone to come along and ask this question. I suppose it's not so obvious even to one so young and open as you, but it is quite simple. We desire to understand the mystery of the divine ways and ask them to conform to our belief system, as our elders taught us to. But the divine ways do not conform to anything. Rather, they define everything. It is like trying to carve the air or force gravity to reverse itself.
If the divine ways are the unknown, then we must fear the divine.
Exactly. We fear the divine because it is the unpredictable, the uncertain, so well hidden as to be unseen.
But if it's unseen, how will I know it?
In your heart. Only in your heart.
This audience is more aware than most, but for many in the world today, this is a time of great awakening and revealing of the world and its underbelly. We are learning that there has been much going on. Well, many have known, but the truth of what's been happening is being revealed to all of us now, of the underhanded doings of those who have been in control of our lives. This time of revealing provides to all of us an opportunity to let go of this world. Many have spent a great deal of focus, worrying, and wondering how to penetrate this facility of control. How do we take control of our lives? How do we take control of the world? How do we release the domination that has for so long kept everyone bound to this struggle? The idea, however, is not to compete with this effort to control and to accumulate and to rise one above the other. This is rather an opportunity to release the hold that another may have upon you and release the hold that we endeavor to manifest upon our individual selves, our individual lives, and let go of this struggle to be like that which has controlled humanity for many, many millennia. The time now is to go inward and discover that within each and every being is the source capacity to be a ground within which we can rise, grow, and blossom into the fullness of who we truly are. Those who are wanting, desiring, working for a form of liberation have been struggling within the context of a world that is in opposition to that liberation. Freedom is not found in that context. Freedom is not found in the desire to have wealth and control and influence, or to be one who can accumulate and own, possess, and control one's life. So what occurs is, in this struggle, the only control possible is the control of other lives, other beings, the family, the friends, the workplace. And as we each come upon this barrier that is arising with this great revealing, we enter into a state of, well, it could be frustration, because the efforts, the endless struggles, do not bear fruit. They only bear frustrations. So it is really to release the stranglehold that we think we have upon what it is we must do, what it is we must be, what it is we must have, and just allow our being to exist in not isolation, not separation, but in the essence of truth, in that we are in each and every one a universe unto itself. And as we bring our focus to the interior of our being and let go of the struggle to control and to be part of a world that no longer serves, we can settle in like a gentle rain flowing into the forest. Allow your awareness of being to gently settle in and feel the intricacies of your inner being. Let the world do what it may, but release yourself from this desire to rise within that which is not serving your better good, is not serving your true rising, which is coming into an understanding, coming into an acceptance, coming into the allowing that within each and every being there is a bubbling spring, a rising up of knowing, a rising up that brings into your being, seeping through the energy, seeping through the body, the physicality, seeping through your skin into your existence into your life, bubbling forth from the very core of who you are, is the truth of life, the truth of being, the truth of allowing the most wondrous, the most glorious, the most joyful of existence. And as you let go of the troubles that dance before you on the screens of the world, allow your eyes to rest on the natural, flowing life that arises from your living, breathing, and loving planetary body. Because this planetary body is your body. You are as the ground, the earth, the soil of this world in which you live. Allow to grow from your soil the natural flowing of your inner creative source. Allow that source, that energy, the awareness, that loving, accepting, and allowing to seep into every aspect of your being. Like water nourishing the earth, your inner power nourishes your body, your soul, your spirit, your being, your capacity to move and grow in the world as an emanation of the deepest capacity to love and express. And as you allow your deepest being to rise within you like a seedling, growing into the strength of a tall, beautiful tree, as you open the inner doors, the inner windows, the inner vision to your truth, your body transforms and heals. Your life expands and grows in a capacity for expression and being within the earth. Within the field of the earth, it is yourself that creates the environment, the physical environment, the emotional environment, the spiritual environment, the capacity to see and experience joy inside this bubble of a world in which you live. Because in truth, the lives that we have lived have been lives of falsehood. There have been lives in which we have discounted and ignored and perhaps suppressed the greatest capacity within, and have struggled to match and to fit and to be based on an outer judgment and a dictation that comes from the few who would have you serve their needs, the needs of their goals, the needs of their control, the needs of their wanting to feed off of your energies, your creativity, your loving capacity, and just like plugging into a wall outlet and taking that energy into the use of your machines, this dissipating energy of violence and control is actually fueled by the beauty within you. Only that beauty is taken and twisted into more of the same confusion, into more of the same, the old way. And we have approached a time of the new way. The new way is to have trust within your own being, to settle into this deep wisdom that flows from the first moment of thought, the first moment of sound, the first moment of creation, flows into your being through the being of your planetary body, from its core into its surface, from your core into your surface, and from the surface of your planetary being, of your physical, moving, living body being, from the center to the surface, into the life, into the stream of your life. And when you turn your attention to the inner awareness, allowing that stream of rising, of expanding, to flow from the source of your creativity, from the source of the heart, of the loving, of the caring, and allow that flow to be embodied in your physical being. The cells of your being will awaken, will heal, will rejoice. Your capacity to feel and express and give and open to one another will expand and be expressed in the world. You can see it. It's happening. It is now. So let go of the fragments of the chaos we witness, perhaps in our homes, in our streets, on the screen, across the world. Turn your attention away from the madness you witness. It's there. We know it's there. We can see it. We can feel it. But the idea is not to penetrate into it and become it, but to allow it. In the absence of your attention and energy, it will dissipate. It will disappear. It will vanish from this world, and you will have the opportunity among your brothers and sisters of the human realm, the animal realm, the plant realm, of every realm, will be allowing the emanation of the deepest creative force into their beings, into their world, so that it is in this way that we create the new time of being. In fullness, in full capacity, in full openness of heart, in full expression of being. And the expression is in a myriad of ways, in dancing, in singing, in writing, in loving and enjoying each other. This is how it is that this beautiful planetary body, human body, and body of the kingdoms, the elementals, the animals, the birds, the plants, all coming forth from the center of their beings, recreating this beautiful opportunity to be and to live and to love in harmony with all as one great, diverse, creative, unique expressions of the one source that fuels, loves, sustains, and in its capacity to grow, to create, and to be, and to give birth to new in this great diverse creation of existence, to bestow upon each and every being the capacity to do this as well in life, in expression, in being, to create, to bring forth that which never has existed, to collectively bring forth a world in which all can live in joy, all can live in health, all can live in harmony with each other. But first, that harmony can be found within each and every one. Turn your attention to the bubbling spring that rises from within, giving birth to countless amazing expressions, experiences, and discoveries. We all, in the realm of creation, in the realm of manifestation, are united and working together to bring forth this expression of a new manifestation of reality, one that is free from the shackles of our past. You, each and every single one, you are the key to open the door. You are the key to extend a hand, extend a heart, extend a loving glance to each other, in assurance that yes, this is as it shall be, this is as it is, and so indeed it is. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. In this first segment, you heard a reading from the Universal Soul offering a message for every being against the backdrop of a trance music mix featuring Energetic Heart and Living from the Heart by Wingmakers, Sunrise Prayer by Douglas Spotted Eagle, Healed Free by Nadi, Ring of Gold by Akhan, and Freedom Song by Deep Forest. Our opening theme is Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark. Thank you.
say I am really very, very excited about today's program because I am welcoming back an old friend. And my guest is Sergio Magaña. And he is a well-known healer and spiritual teacher. And he has been initiated into the 5,000-year-old Toltec lineage of Mesoamerica. He's the author of Dawn of the Sixth Sun, 2012-21, and The Toltec Secret, Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans. He travels extensively and has a community of over 50,000 students in Mexico, the USA, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, and the United Kingdom. Sergio was chosen by his Nahuatl-speaking teachers to be the one to bring the ancient knowledge of the Toltecs and Aztecs to the world. He is a well-known and respected healer in Mexico who has been initiated into this beautiful shamanic lineage. He is also appointed by Club UNESCO to be the representative whose job it is to preserve all of the cultural teachings of the Nahuatl culture. And he was invited to perform the Toltec ceremony for the winter solstice of 2012 for UNESCO. There's much more I could say, but I want to welcome you back to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm so happy to have you today. Hello, Sergio.
Hello, Catherine. For me, it's a real pleasure to be back.
Yeah.
It looks like yesterday, but it has been like 2 years since the last time I was with you. And it's a real, real, real pleasure to be again, to talk with you again, and to share with all your audience that I know a lot of people hear you, and they are so nice, and I met a lot of them in the workshops. All my experiences and whatever new it comes.
Well, I appreciate, and there are always people who don't know too much about you. Perhaps they're listening for you the first time. Can you give a little bit of your background? Because I know you were really introduced to the indigenous culture by your nanny.
Yes. I had a very, like, a special, and now I see very lucky childhood, I think. Because the difference in my life, I was raised in a traditional Catholic Mexican family. But my mother decided to work, so I was raised by my nanny. She was like the daughter of the curandero, of the healer of a group. They are named the Otomi. That are very close to Mexico City. So she was supposed to be the next one in the lineage of healers of her father in her little town. But then certain things that probably sound like tragic, but at the end they came to a purpose. She had some problems in the town, so she had to escape to Mexico City. Without shoes, without speaking Spanish, actually. And then she ended working in my parents' house. And, like, she came to my parents' house before I was born. Then I became, like, the kind of son that she couldn't have. So I was really, like, kind of raised by two mothers. One very traditional, with in science, in religion. The other, she was also Catholic, because in Mexico it became this syncretism, but she practiced the ancient medicine. So since I was a little boy, I saw all these kind of things, like when I had a pain or an ache, how she took, like, I remember the brand that they were named Delicados, that it's pure tobacco. Here in Mexico, how she began, like, moving like one of those cigarettes against the clock in the area of the pain. Then she smoked it in, and when she blew out, took out the pain. Like, those things I saw many, like kind of shamanic, indigenous medicine, actually, like with plants, like cleansing you with an egg and reading it. And I think nowadays I don't use those techniques anymore, but I think that they made a huge difference in my life because they showed me that the traditional medicine is not the only way, that there are many others. So I grew up with that, and it really, really changed my life.
Hmm. And also, as you grew older, you started your career in one direction. I know, I think you were like an actor or something like this, but then you ended up coming into contact with some of your mentors, and you began to follow deeply this path into the Nahuatl culture. Can you tell us a little something about that?
Of course, when you are a young man, you never think that you're going to end writing books about indigenous culture or following the healing traditions. It was out of my mind, so I tried to become an actor. Also, I started to become a chef. So I was trying to do like more normal professions before. But actually, I think it's like a destiny, because I tried to do all those things, and the doors were closing and closing again and again. And like with the nanny, other of the things that I learned were how to move the eyes into different perceptions. I could see the energy. So I was like, that story, probably have never told it to you, but it comes in my new book that is that will be soon launching out. Mm-hmm. So I went to like a little talk, and I asked a lady if she had a surgery around the navel, and she told me, "How do you know?" And I said, "Because I see that there is a lot of energy accumulated there." There was other there that was really like septic, and she told me, "And where do I have?" And I began seeing her energy, and I saw her legs, and I said, "In your legs." And she told me that, in fact, that she had like a lot of circulatory problems. And then there was a third one there that asked me and me, and I said, "In the neck." And in fact, she had like a think about the thyroid. So they were like amazed, and they told me, how can we fix it? And actually, in that moment, I needed to work, so I said, "I can fix it." So that's how my healing career started. And then I didn't know, because one of them was like the director of a very important behavior kind of hospital here in Mexico City, and she began sending me many of the clients, and like in 1 month I was like kind of full, like of clients and patients. They were having like a lot of changes through these techniques, and one of those had a radio show, so she invited me to do an interview. I began talking about energy, how you could move the eyes and see the energetic field. They asked me a lot, "How do you know where there is a surgery?" And I told them, when you see a lot of accumulation, like of yellow, very close to the area and to the body, is probably where they have a surgery. And then the radio station was like kind of fascinated and offered me a show. Mm-hmm. So I began talking about energy, about many things. I had guests, Buddhism, how to douse and that. And that's how my mentors in the Nahuatl tradition really came. The first one because I have been looking in the main plaza of Mexico City, where the dancers are that supposedly carry the tradition, but I hadn't found modern dancers and sweating lodges, and I wasn't really interested in that path. So after some time, one of my teachers, because that show still keeps running in Mexico City, I have been like with that show 15 years. So he helped me while he was driving his truck, and he said, he's the one that is going to take the ancient knowledge of dreams and of the mirror and to the world. And then he began coming to some of my workshops, and he told me, I didn't come to learn, I come to teach you. He began teaching me. Mm-hmm. Then he introduced me his very good friend, Xolotl, my main teacher of the Toltec lineage. And they began giving me individual sessions for many, many years. And that's how I ended up doing this. And actually, Hugo, the first one, the one that heard me in radio, he made me like a prophecy like 10 years ago, like he told me. After the eclipse of July of 2010, the Mexica wisdom will be out in the world. You will be one of the first carriers. And you will start by Italy, and then you will go to England. When he told me that, I didn't know a lot about the Mexican Toltec tradition. Actually, I had the knowledge of my nanny. I knew something about energy and very few things that he had taught me. So I didn't question it, but I didn't entirely believe it. But actually, it was like that. 1 month after that eclipse, they invited me to give a talk about healing. There was full of Italians. They invited me to Italy, and they proposed me to do my first book. And then the second one, I gave a small talk in London, and a big publisher offered me to do the second one exactly how he said. And then when it happened, I told him, "How did you know?" And he told me, "Because all the destruction that came to our culture, we think that was done by the Spanish, but really the base was in Rome, in the Vatican. So our coming back to share what wasn't seen 500 years ago, most started in Italy. And then the other country that established the order in the New World was England. So if those two aspects are covered, then really, really, it will be the welcome to the ancient knowledge also in the Americas." So mm-hmm. It has happened like that. I every time that I tell the story, I really like, really, I'm leaving that. But it's happening.
Yes, it did. It really happened, and your life has followed this prophecy. And when you speak of destiny, I also see that in the relationship that came to be with Club UNESCO and you being chosen to preserve the Nahuatl culture and the ceremonies and the dances. Can you tell us a little something about that work that you're doing now?
Yes. One Spanish friend invited me that he was going to do, there was going to be for not exactly for UNESCO Paris, but for Club UNESCO, that is like a branch, a ceremony for the winter solstice. And in 2012, so he invited me, that I really accepted because I was quite reluctant to accept that first invitation because the 2012 was important here in Mexico, so I wanted to be here. But he invited me, and the ceremony was going to be performed in Montserrat, that is one of the most sacred Catholic churches in Spain, where is the Black Madonna, the Black Virgin of Montserrat. To perform a complete opening of directions and ceremony in Nahuatl. So I said, for me it meant like a lot, I said, because that was on 500 years ago here. The Christian Mass began being performed in the pyramids in our temples, mm-hmm. actually. And not in a very peaceful way, in a very different way. Now in a peaceful way, they're inviting you to perform a complete Nahuatl ceremony in one of the most important Christian temples. So I went. The president of Club UNESCO for the Protection of the Intangible Patrimony of Humankind, that actually wrote the foreword of my second book, was there. And then he proposed me to develop a project to make the intangible patrimony, because UNESCO, the one of Paris, is the one that does a lot of the tangible patrimony, but like buildings or sacred sites to protect them, or cities or that. But there is like the other brand of ceremonies of that. So we began doing that project. He came to the Mexican Black Parliament because it cannot be done by UNESCO, it must be done by the government. In the first moment they accepted, but then the culture department wanted to do other project. So that was a stop for a moment. Now it's coming again to life because we're going to do other one to make like the not the culture, but like the trip around the sacred sites of the center that were there, the ones of Nahuatl speaking, something that is called Trips Heritage by UNESCO, that could be done more directly from UNESCO. So it has changed in these years, but I have been working. I'm really proud. I hope that now we can take it to the end to make, like, because the Mayan area, for example, is very known for a lot of people, but a lot of people don't come to the center. And there are beautiful, beautiful sacred sites, ceremonies, that you cannot see in the south, in the Mayan area, that we want to put again into the world so that the world knows, like a trip heritage by UNESCO.
That's really wonderful. And can you explain to people what Nahuatl is, how that tradition has developed through the Americas and through the history of what we know as Mexico?
Of course. Nahuatl is a language. So the Nahuatl, okay, had like a previous version that was called Jutu Azteca, that is like Latin for Spanish or Sanskrit for Tibetan. It actually started like in the United, now what is the United States, that's why it's called Jutu. And those groups were called the Chichimecas. They began coming down, then they became like Olmecs, the Olmecs. Then the Teotihuacans, Xochicalcas, Toltecs, and finally the Aztecs. So there were like lineages that had like a similar culture, that has similar calendars and the tradition, that is a very old lineage, like from 5,000 years ago with the Chichimecas. And it's something similar if you see in the Western history that is more known, like what happened if we begin tracing the Roman Empire with the Latin, and then how they turn into Christianity, and how the many of the countries that developed a language that came from Latin became Christian, something like that. That is going crossing generations to generations, but that share similar beliefs on that. So it's a huge body of knowledge. I have been exploring much more the area of the cosmology, of course, some Nahuatl etymology, because if you understand the language, you understand like the ancient vision, but mainly the knowledge about dreams and about healing.
And in many ways, this is
all coming together in your books, as well as your healing with people and the workshops that you are offering and the various traditions that you are making available to people who really would not have access to this knowledge in any other way. So to me, it's very, very valuable.
This segment featured Sergio Magana, Aztec, Toltec healer and author. In this first part of a series, we begin by learning about Sergio's mystical beginnings and the call of destiny. Next week, tune in for part two, where we learn more about dreaming and the true significance of the calendars of prophecy. The featured music is Road Trip by Catherine Davis. Sergio Magana Osio Kyoto, founder of Centro Energetico Integral, is a well-known and respected healer who has been initiated into the 5,000-year-old Toltec lineage of Mesoamerica. He is the author of 2012-2021, The Dawn of the Sixth Sun, The Toltec Secret, Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans, and Caves of Power, Ancient Energy Techniques for Healing Rejuvenation and Manifestation. His website, sergiomagana.com. sergiomagana.com, sergiomagana.com. Please feel free to reach out. You can email me at heartofmindradio@gmail.com. I am Catherine Davis, and this has been Heart of Mind, Radio for the New Millennium, over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Take care and have a beautiful week, and tune in again next Saturday at 6 p.m. And stay tuned for more great programming.